turn, if you will. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12.
While you turn there, I was glad to see Brother Ian Potts and his wife Rachel and their children made it to New Jersey. They're going to spend a few weeks in the Northeast, and he's filling in for Clay. So Clay preached 12 times in 14 days. And so Ian showed up, and you can guess who got asked to preach. But it's a, wish I was there to say hi to him. It's a pleasure to have them in the country with us. Maybe they'll travel out this way sometime. But in September, I got confirmation this morning. September 15th, I'll be in Danville. I'm going to preach there. Travel a little bit that Sunday evening. Preach there Tuesday, and then Wednesday I'll be down in Crossville, Tennessee on the 18th, preaching for Donnie. But Brother Bob's going to bring one message. I'll keep reminding us, but one message that Sunday, September 15th, and then Brother John Reeves will be here to bring the gospel to you Wednesday the 18th in September. So I'm going to say it out loud early so that way it's locked in and it's commitment. Hold you to it. All right, brethren. Matthew 12. I was reading through Hosea as I worked on that, and Hosea 6:6 says, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." And I looked at other scriptures where our Lord uses the same phrase, and there's several places that say the Lord desires mercy and not sacrifice. He said, "I don't want anything that you do. I want what I've done." And several places he says this, and Old and New Testament. Some people say, "Well, there's an Old Testament God and a New Testament God." No, there ain't. If you got somebody telling you that, find somebody else to tell you about God. It's the same. Same as it was in Hosea, the same as it was in Matthew 9 we just read, and the same as it is here in Matthew 12 and in our day. The Lord, out of His love for His people, He became the sacrifice. And those that love Him as they have been loved, when we look up at old Brother Scott Richardson, they called him a mountain genius, and it's so. He said, "Love that looks up is adoration. Love that looks to our brethren side crossways is admiration, and love that looks down is mercy." And the Lord said, "I'm going to be pleased with mercy. I delight to show mercy. I'm going to love my people, and I won't have nothing out of them. They're going to know that this love's solely of me, and this is a pure love. This is because I'm holy, holy." Brother Clay, I had that in the book. The angels didn't cry out, "Love, love, love." They cried out, "Holy, holy, holy." And this is a holy love that He has. So Matthew 12, verse 1. "At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. And His disciples were and hungered and began to pluck the ears of the corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto Him, 'Behold, thy disciples that do which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day.'" It just occurred to me. You never see the disciples and the apostles. They don't go up to the Pharisees and start picking at the Pharisees, do they? It's always the Pharisees picking at them. They was going to go worship God. They wouldn't bother nobody. They had something to say, didn't they? Verse 3. "But He said unto them, 'Have ye not read that what David did when he was an hungered and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read the law? How that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temples profane the Sabbath and are blameless. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, 'I will have mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guilty. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. And when He was departed thence, He went to their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked Him, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days?' You say it's all right to eat corn. Can you heal?" That they might accuse Him. They're asking Him questions, getting tangled up in His words. "Just you say it, and we're going to get you." And He said to them, "What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then He saith to the man, 'Stretch forth thine hand.' And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held counsel against Him, how they might destroy Him. the Lord shows us necessity here in this verse 1, and then he shows us the mercy that he's going to give. There was a need, and then there was a mercy provided. And here in verse 1, we see the necessity. Look at verse 1. And at the time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, they were heading to church, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of the corn and to eat. Our Lord and his disciples are walking through a cornfield. Now, this ain't sweet corn like we eat. This here's wheat. That's what it is. They called it wheat. They called it corn. So they walked through a wheat field, and it was a road going into town, and there's groceries growing on both sides of the road. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but that's just an old country town. And they're walking through there, and there's wheat growing on each side of our road, same as our day. And they were on their way to service. And while they were on their way to services, the disciples were hungry. They were hungry. And old Matthew Henry said this, and I loved it. I don't normally eat breakfast, and I don't normally eat before I have to preach. Or I'll eat just a little bit on Wednesday evening, and then by the time I get home at 8:30, that's why I keep eating so late, and I got extra weight on me. I'm ravished. I want to eat everything, and it makes me sleep better, I guess. But Matthew Henry said, likely they woke up early so they could get to church on time. And while they was getting ready to go to worship, Christ spoke to them until it was time to go to worship. And they gladly missed breakfast to listen to him speak. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be worth it to miss a meal to hear him speak? As they walked through this field of wheat on the way to service, they picked off an ear of wheat here and there. They take some and they rubbed it between their hands and they ate the kernels. All that chaff fell off and they ate the kernels. It was a dry breakfast cereal. You can buy it at the store. This ain't something that's uncommon. This was perfectly legal, and this was not theft. It wasn't. In Deuteronomy 23, it says, when thou comest to the standing of corn of thy neighbor, thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. If you're walking by, you don't go harvest his corn, but you just get you some wheat, rub your hand, eat it. And when he comes by your place, maybe he's tired and hungry. He'll grab a piece of yours. It ain't hurting you. You ain't going to miss it. And he'll keep giving enough energy to get him home, and that'll be fine. Lord gave us that law in Deuteronomy 23. They were not the only ones on that road walking that day to services, were they? Verse 2. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. What they're saying is it's unlawful. Well, Deuteronomy 23 says perfectly fine, isn't it? But they had their own canons. They had their own rules. The Pharisees did. We'll end up seeing they change this after this time frame. But here's what their canon said, their rules. He that reaps on the Sabbath day ever so little is guilty of stoning. If you reap on the Sabbath day, and they clarified further in their rules, it says plucking of ears of corn is a derivative of reaping. It's like a legal document. They said, now if you take just one ear, that's reaping, and that ain't legal. Well, the Lord didn't say nothing about that. They said that. They made up their own rules. Israel went to the Lord one time, and they said, we've been doing these ceremonies and things, and it's for 7 years, it's wearing us out. We're getting tired. And God said, who told you to do it? You're the one that did it. I didn't put this on you. You put this on you. I didn't tell you to do that. I thought he said that. Well, let's go look it up. No, he didn't say that. They said it. But these Pharisees had added to the Word of God. We're not to take away from the Word of God. If he said it, let every man be a liar and God be true, right? We have to like it. That's actually required by law. You have to agree with consent to the law. But it's so if he said it. And we're not to take away from it, not to ignore it. It says in Revelations 22:19, if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and of the holy city and of the things which are written in this book. Don't you take away from it. So that's what Paul was talking about. He said, I've not shunned to preach the whole counsel of God. We come to something, as we work through books, there's things, like Donnie said, I don't want to preach on divorce. I want to preach on marriage. But that's what they come to. And that's what we need to hear that day, because that's what the Lord has for us. But we're not to take anything away from it. So, well, I know it says that, but we just do this anyway. It's how we always did. No, God said so. Proverbs 30 says, every word of God is pure, and he's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not to his word, lest he reprove thee and thee be found a liar. Don't take away from that word and don't add to it. But the Pharisees of that day, they added to the things of the word of the Lord. He gave it plainly to Moses in Exodus 20. He said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Nobody's going to do any work. Well, if we look at that as the expender of energy to accomplish a task, we're breathing, ain't we? We got to eat food, don't we? We have to roll over in bed. We can't just lay still and not breathe 24 hours, can we? So it has, we have to have a little bit of wisdom with it, don't we? When the Lord's our wisdom, and he's about to explain the rules to them. This is his law, and he's going to explain his law to them. Christ is the one, we remember that, who gave the law. He's the lawgiver. This is his law. If anybody knows it, he does. He was the one that was made under the law. He gave this law so he could be made under it because we broke it and he never broke it. He understood it. He not only understood his law in the purest sense that we could ever think of, but he also knew those canons, those rules that they added to it. And he knew what they took from it. And he knew their hearts. And he knew their minds of those Pharisees that were persecuting him. That AT&T had a big data breach. And they had a couple years worth of text messages released. So I guess they can go Google them, or somebody has them. They got recorded, and they had that Madison account years ago. Names got leaked. Who's been cheating on their wives or something. Oh, man, everybody got nervous. They're going to find out the truth. What do you think God sees? We see the outside. God looks on the heart. And that'll terrify somebody that's apart from him. And if he gave a new heart, that'll comfort the one. So, well, he's going to look on the thing he gave me. And if he gave it, it's good. That's so, isn't it? The Lord looked on their hearts, those that are persecuting him. The Lord, he's a lawyer, a true representative, an advocate, a mediator. He sets the precedent for the necessity. He reminds them of a previous case. Just like a good lawyer, he looks at the precedent. Look at verse 3. But he said to them, have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat. He wasn't allowed to do that. Neither for them that were with him, but only for the priests. There in 1 Samuel 21, David and his men went to Ahimelech, and they asked for regular bread. They said, hey, do you have some sourdough, whatever kind of bread they had that wasn't a showbread? Do you have some of that? We're hungry. And they said, we don't have any. We don't have any to give you. All we have is a showbread. And so the priests ended up giving them the showbread. David said, Lord said, give it to him, and I give it to him. They said, all right, you're okay. You said Lord said so. And they ate it, and they went on their way. And it was fine. It was fine. But we just looked at Uzziah, didn't we? He went to that priest's office out of pride, not out of necessity. David and them, and they were hungry. And he said later on, I've never seen the Lord's people begging bread. But Uzziah went in out of pride, not necessity, and the Lord struck him with leprosy. He said, what are you doing in here? Don't you touch that incense. You quit it. And had 83 men warn him. That's what the Lord says, the wise seeks counsel, but the fool, at the reproof of many, won't hear it. You hear the same thing out of 7 different faithful men of God and say, no, that's foolish. Ain't wise. But Uzziah didn't listen to him. He was struck. We understand the necessity of hunger, don't we? You get hungry. Well, you can't think right. Hey, we're going to worship God. We're going to get real holy and fast for 3 days. All you're thinking about is cheesecake. There's a fast given by the Lord that's approved. And that's when you can't eat. You've been so heartbroken. Here, eat something. I can't eat. Oh, I can't. You chew it and you spit it back out. Can't even swallow it. God gives that fast. But when we think we're going to be so holy, and I'm going to go on a water fast for 3 days so I can be more spiritual. You're going to think about food all the time, not spiritual food. Solomon said in Proverbs 6, men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. We understand that, don't you? If somebody's stealing from you and they got everything good going in life, I don't like a thief. I don't like a time thief. I don't like a property thief. I don't like any kind of thief. A stolen valor gets me riled up good too. People pretending to be veterans and they're not. But if somebody was stealing from you, if they went out in your garden and picked tomatoes and they had little children with them and they was just cheeks sunk in and hungry, well, let me run the house and get you something. I'll make you a bologna sandwich. You don't have, come on now. That's fine. You don't mind that, do you? You understand. If mankind can understand that. But what a hard question to ask these men that teach. The Lord asked them these questions. They taught the word of the Lord every week. They knew what it said, but they had no discernment and they had no understanding. Oh, they knew the scriptures, but they didn't understand what it meant. He says, have you not read? Well, right in their occupation, threw it right in their courts. Isn't that what it says? How does that make you feel? Have you not read? That's an arrow to their pride, isn't it? Just and let it go. Now, is that patient? Should the Lord have killed him right then for disrespecting his word? That's patient, isn't it? But it seems like an insult. He said, have you not read? Maybe we ought to. People say, I got a Bible. Maybe we ought to read it. That's what Don always said. Maybe we ought to read it sometimes. There's some necessity in keeping the Sabbath day too, in case they did read about David, whom they know so much about. He will address the law that they loved even more. Verse 5. Or have you not read the law? You stand on this law. Ain't you read it? Same thing Paul said, wasn't it? You that want to be under the law, ain't you read it? Ain't you heard it? Don't you know what it says? How that on the Sabbath days, the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless. I went and read what the requirements of a bishop are. You know what the first one is? Blameless. Is that you? How are you holding up? Is that me? Is that who do you know that's blameless? God said his priests are blameless. That was it. It said they defiled the Sabbath, yet they're blameless. They're blameless. Because of our capital P preacher, the bishop of our souls, because he's blameless and we in him and he fulfilled this law, that's how these were blameless. And he said, go do that. Just like he told Hosea, that breaks the law by him marrying somebody outside of his house and the bride of whoredoms. He ain't allowed to do that. God said, go do it. All right. And he went and did it. And he said, that's a picture of my son. The father said, that's a picture of my son and the bride I gave him. That's what we're going to do. But we understand the law from our understanding. We apply our thoughts, our wisdom, our experiences, and our emotion to what God says and don't understand him from what he says. So he's teaching them. He said, have you read in the law how that the Sabbath days, the priests of the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Did you know that every physical Sabbath day, those priests defiled that day? They had to kill the beasts. They wasn't just breathing work. Now, this is an occupation, isn't it? They butchered them. They had to go out there and kill them, and they had to cut them up the way they're told to. They had to gather the fires and get that going and burn them the way they're supposed to burn. But it was never charged against those priests. Why? It was a necessity. Because God said so. He said, do it this way. Well, now it had to be done. It was in service of the Lord. They weren't breaking the fourth commandment in doing that. They were honoring God in it. Here comes the true necessity. He's given us to show them they had to do that, didn't they? Well, yeah, they had to. Wise. Just like Stephen said, that's what the scripture says, isn't it? That's what God says. I'll change my doctrine whenever this book changes, and it ain't changed. He's God and does not change. That's what he says, isn't it? Now he gives them the true necessity, verse 6. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. You love your heritage. You love this holy place. But I'll tell you something about this holy place. There's one greater than this holy place standing. It's what the one that it pictures. If the work to have service at the temple was good enough not to make those priests guilty, how much more the disciples laboring with Christ would be free from breaking the law of Christ, walking with him and going to do what he commanded? They're free. They're free. That's liberty. Did you know that? Go down to the house of idols and buy meat if it's cheaper. Do what you go to a fish fry. Do what you want. We're free from the law. Now, I don't want to bring reproach on the gospel. Right? Should we sin more that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. Get that out of your mouth. What's wrong with you? You know better than that. He said, there's one that's greater in this temple. Those Jews had great reverence for this temple. That's what they're accusing Stephen of, blaspheming the temple and the law, right? This holy place. As great of a place as these Pharisees held for the temple, they were in the presence of the very God it symbolized. Standing right in front of them, speaking to them. It's not a symbol of God. It's the fullness of the Godhead in a body was the one telling them. And they wouldn't hear him. Verse 7, but if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. He told Peter, said, don't you dare say something's unclean that I said is clean. Don't you touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. He said, you wouldn't have said that about them if you understood what this meant. If you understood these scriptures, you wouldn't say what you're saying about my disciples. Christ says you didn't truly understand the story of David. You clearly do not understand what the commandments of God actually mean, and you do not know what was meant by Hosea 6:6. This is merciful to them. He didn't lead them to themselves. He's telling them. He's warning them. Like we looked through those plagues in Egypt, every third one had no warning. And what a great warning that was to us, that God doesn't owe us a warning. But he's merciful. And he's telling them. This ain't, people say, well, God elected people to help. No, he didn't. It's man's fault, period. We're without excuse. Everyone, the Lord is gracious and merciful, and it rains on the wicked, same as it rains on us. And if man goes to hell, it's his own fault. That's so. The Almighty God of heaven and earth, the one that we just willingly and desperately offended. We spit in his face. We were at war with him. We are war. We're enmity. That's all that we are. It's in us. Fighting tooth and toenail. He delights to show mercy. And he said, I ain't going to take anything out of your hand. I'll send what's required. And then I'll accept it, and I'll accept you in that land. That blood's going to be on you, and I'm going to look and say, pass over. I don't state nothing there. There's no sin. Well done. You did a great job. Lord, when did we ever do that? We never saw you sick. We never saw you hungry. He said, if you did the least of these, you done it to me. But those other ones said, I did this, and I did that, and we did this. And we did a lot of stuff. We're strong. We got a good track record. What mercy, isn't it? Remember, the law is our schoolmaster. It's not given for us to perform. It's given to us to prove our inability. It's just that one that brings us to Christ. Keep the Sabbath. How can I? How can anybody? We don't really understand what it means. But God, Christ, who gave the law, is also able to fulfill the law. He was the fulfiller of the law. We're not to try to complete the law. We're to look to the one that's able and has finished it. Jotted every I or crossed every T. He did all of it. It's him. Verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord. Well, if we get that. He's Lord, even of the Sabbath day. You're concerned about a Sabbath. Whatever you're concerned about. Wasn't that a good life lesson? The mail ain't run yet. I wonder if the mail's going to run today. He's the Lord of the mailman. Well, sit down and have your sandwich. It's all right. Get you a scoop of ice cream. You'll be fine. He's Lord, even of the Sabbath. Even of the Sabbath. What's our true necessity? Our substitute. That bread from heaven. More than our physical bread. And food's necessary, isn't it? The work of the Lord, the service to him, the furtherance of the gospel is necessary. But Christ, our Sabbath, is necessary for our eternal souls. We have to have him. What do we need in such great measure? Mercy. 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 Verse 9. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogues. Their synagogue. Christ went on to service. He didn't let an argument keep him from attending worship. It didn't make him late. It didn't make him stop going. He kept going. Verse 10, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. Some old scholars say this man was a bricklayer and he didn't have the ability to work physically anymore. But more importantly, this shows us we don't have the ability to sacrifice to God spiritually. Let's picture our withered hand, the thing that we work with, our hands. We can't please God in ourselves. Completely impossible. We can't keep a Sabbath day. You think of the heart of these Pharisees. You think about that. Here's a crippled man right there. Think of their heart towards him. They didn't address him. They didn't say hi. They used. They used this crippled man, this handicapped person, to try to entangle the Lord on a Sabbath day. No compassion. Verse 11, and he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay a hold of it and lift it out? Right there, right in that, it should have struck him dead. Should have killed. What's wrong with you picking on this crippled man? No compassion on a cripple. He kept going. He's teaching. He's teaching them. Coming at a different angle. I'll tell you this way. I'll tell you that way. I'll go around the back way. We'll type it up, hand it out, print whatever we got to do. Put a sign up. Over and over and over again. What mercy. Our master walks this earth. While he was here, another canon of the Jews was, if a beast fall into a ditch or a pool of water, if food can be given it where it is, they'll feed it till the going down of the Sabbath. They said, if you had a sheep or a goat or whatever, cow, and it got in a ditch, you could go over and you could throw food down to it until the Sabbath was over, and then you could go get it out of the ditch. But if not, if you couldn't throw that down there to them, you could get pillows or bolsters, and you could bring that and throw that down, and it can climb itself out. That's like, you know, putting kitty litter down in a snowstorm, get you traction on your tires. You could throw a board down in there, and you could let it walk out itself. It could save itself. You could just help it. That was their rules. And then after Christ's time on this earth, that was changed. They changed the rules because of this. He got them, didn't he? Let's change it to, if a beast fall in a ditch or a pool of water, it's forbidden for a man to bring it out with his hand. But if he can give food where it is, he can still go through food to it. But you can't throw those pillows and bolsters down there. You can't even help. They changed the rules because of what he said. What man among you have one sheep? You know, people don't normally have one sheep, do they? Why is it one sheep by itself? Told you 100 times. Herd animal, ain't they? They need other sheep. You got at least 2 or 3, they'll go crazy, won't they? You got to have more of them together. They need to be with other sheep. So if you had a lot of sheep, one dying, really, he's putting this in perspective. If you had 300 sheep, well, I lost a sheep today. Man, that's terrible. Well, we got 299. We're good to go. It's not that big of a deal. But if all you had was one sheep, and that one sheep, that one thing you found precious, the one thing you had to have to live was down in the ditch, wouldn't you go get it? Wouldn't you go get it? That's all you got. That's all. My all is down in that ditch. Wouldn't you go get it? The Lord came down for one sheep at a time, didn't he? He did. What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath, they will not lay hold of it and lift it out? He lifted us out of that miry pit. Of course we would go get it. Of course we would. And it's lawful to get it, even under these extra laws that the Jews had put on there, that the Pharisees had put on the Word of God. What they added to it wrongfully, it's still right to do it. Verse 12. How much then is a man better than a sheep? You get this. You talk about putting in perspective. He explained this to them where they got it. And he said, now, you agree with me. Now, how much more important is a human being than an animal? Wherefore, is it not lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? Ain't it right? I'm doing him good. I'm giving his hand back to him. Isn't that a good thing? Wouldn't you be happy if that happened? You would be merciful to a soulless animal on a Sabbath day, but not to a man. Getting a sheep out of a ditch, that'd be doing well. That's doing a good thing, isn't it? How much more would it be right for the Lord of the Sabbath to do good, to show mercy to a man? That's the problem. They still don't see him as Lord. He's, oh yeah, God, my buddy, man upstairs, flippant, right? No Jesus, no God. No Jesus, no God. They didn't know him as Lord. Don't tell me about your Savior. Tell me about your Lord. Don't tell me about who bailed you out of jail. You tell me about the ruler and reigner that put you in jail. There's a difference. For Christ to be merciful to us, it must be in the confines of love towards his people. Do you know that? It's in the confines of love, which can't be contained. Here's what we're going to do. You want rules to live under? Paul told us plainly in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there's no law. There's no restraint. Well, it's Sunday. We can't be good. We can't be kind to an animal. We can't be kind to you. No, do it all you want. Like I said, if there's light in the house, you're going to see it through the windows. Love away. I want to serve God. Me too. Be gentle and long-suffering. You either were a teenager or have had teenagers. Have you ever had your teenagers look at you and say, you're just so impatient, and you're not understanding, and you're not doing right by me? When you're, what were you doing? You're being as long-suffering, as patient as you can, for not bending them over your knee right then and lighting them up. a hard thing to go through. But what do? You keep being long-suffering, and you keep being patient. Because I used to be a 16-year-old knucklehead, too. Not that you all being knuckleheads. I'm using this example. You all read that in a book somewhere. And I wasn't either. I was a perfect child. No, I wouldn't. But that love and that forgiveness and that meekness, though it may not look like what we think it ought to look like in our puny minds, do it all you want. Do it without measure. Cut loose on it, buddy. They ask, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? There is no law against Christ healing a broken heart on a holy day. You get that? When's he going to save his people? Wednesdays and Sundays, or Tuesdays if you're one place, Thursday and another. This is when the word goes forth. This is when the great physician heals the heart in the preaching of the gospel in person. Look at people in the eye in the people business. He's in the people business. And they're worried about why are you doing something on Saturday. The Lord of the Sabbath is going to save his people. So he proves it in showing his arm, isn't it? They ask him, is it unlawful to be gentle to a brother or sister during service? Or is it lawful for us to have joy? Isn't it okay? Do these things make you happy? Be as happy as you want to be. Be as happy as you want. Turn your frown upside down and be happy. Quit being so grumpy all the time. Be as happy as you want. Lord said so, it's fine. Verse 13. And he said to the man, stretch forth thy hand. He proved his point. He showed the necessity. He talked about mercy, and now he's merciful. Stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth. What did he say to Hosea? Go take you a wife of whoredoms. What happened? And he went and took him a wife of whoredoms. Stretch forth your hand. There it went. And he stretched it forth and was restored whole, like as the other. Isn't that wonderful? We have withered hands. We can't serve God. We can't work. We can't walk. We can't wash. We can't do nothing. It's like that thief nailed to the cross, and the Lord says, stretch your hand out. Do it. And then we do it. And he says, live, dry bones, and dry bones live. And he says, I'll walk in your feet, and then we get to walking. And he said, you're going to ask me, and we ask him. He said, no, I'm going to do it, and he does it. And he said, then you're going to thank me for it. And we thank him for it. Isn't that good? Some people find that good. These didn't. Martin Luther said that. When I look to myself, I don't see how in the world that the Lord would save me. He said, but when I look to him, I don't see how in the world everybody in the world don't believe him. Isn't he majestic? Isn't he wonderful? Why wouldn't you love him? Fall in love with him right now. Come to his feet, begging for mercy. Find him faithful. You ain't got nothing to do with it. That's good news. That's for somebody that can't do nothing. Somebody's got, if you have withered hands, that'd be good news to you. But others, verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held counsel against him how they might destroy him. We got to kill this fellow. He's ruining everything. This whole, just like Stephen, he's ruining his holy place. He's ruining our canons and our rules and the way we do things. We've always done it this way. And he's telling us that we ain't nothing. He's calling us sinners. He's saying there's a chance. He ain't saying there's a chance. We might be wrong. He's saying we're the ones that's wrong. And then he's being nice anyway. He's merciful. Dead men hate mercy. Don't you? Jonathan Wilson didn't come help me with that fence up in Alaska. He showed up. I didn't ask him. He just showed up one day. And I said, what are you doing here? He said, I'm helping you take down this fence. I said, why? He said, I knew you wouldn't ask me. You're too proud. That's right. My whole life I've heard that. You need help? Nobody helped me when I was in prison. Don't need no help now. That's us, isn't it? Lord said, I'm going to do it all. You get somebody give you a gift, you want to give them something. Well, here, I got something. Well, that ain't a gift now, is it? If you have to ask for it, it ain't a gift. If we have to trade something for it, it ain't a gift. And Lord said, I'm just going to give them life. I'm going to give them mercy. I'm gracious. And they said, let's kill him. Plug your ears. I don't want to hear this anymore. Get him out of here. Destroy him. Why did they do that? They didn't have a necessity on the Sabbath. They didn't require the Lord of the Sabbath. Do we have a need for Christ our Sabbath? Do we have a need for his loving mercy? When this message goes forth of who man is and who Christ is, man will either plot to destroy the Redeemer or they'll stretch forth their hand to him. One of their own. We sing that sometimes, don't we? Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. He's here right now. He may not be here this evening or tomorrow or the next day or whatever. Right now. Right now. Now is the day of salvation. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Isn't that wonderful? That's good, isn't it? All right. Brother Mike and Trevor, if you all hand out the elements.
Our great merciful Lord, thank you, Lord, for your promise, for your love and your mercy that you've shown the sinners, for choosing the love of a people that deserve no love, that have earned hell. And in spite of ourselves, Lord, you've chosen to gather us together, to teach us, cover us, and clothe us, shed your blood and cover us in it, die in our stead, pay the wage that we've earned. Thank you, Lord, for being that sacrifice. Thank you for gathering us, saving, guiding our way. Lord, be with us. Remember us. Look upon us and see your Son. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for gathering us here this morning under the sound of the gospel. We thank you, Lord, for thy Spirit, which reminds us of these things, that Christ took our sin and made it his own, and suffered and died alone in our place. Oh, Father, as thy word teaches us, Lord, he shed his blood for sinners, for those of us who cannot keep the law, who cannot earn thy merit, who cannot please thee in our flesh by anything that we do, but he shed his blood as a token to cleanse us, wash us, and make us clean. He gave us this table, this remembrance of his work, his body which was broken, his blood which was shed for us. Oh, Father, teach us, Lord, what it really is to examine ourselves, what we do in the faith. Are we trusting him alone for all our salvation? Do we have some kind of merit or something good in our own selves, Lord? I pray that you reveal the truth unto us. In and of ourselves cannot please you, cannot stand before you. But we have this token of remembrance, blood which was shed for us. And we thank you for it. We ask your blessing this morning in Christ's name.